I'm Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who will introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for the best wellness and spiritual practitioners, experts, products, experiences, and inspo, visit theseekingcenter.com. Oh, this is going to be good. We have our go-to astrologer, Stevie Kalista, back, and we're going to be talking about the rest of 2023 and looking ahead to 2024 from an astrological perspective. What's in store, and how can you incorporate this energy into the new year? Stevie is an astrologer, an alchemist, and an artist who makes the most beautiful jewelry with crystals to energize you in just the right way. She's been practicing astrology for over 10 years and continues to combine her passion and knowledge to help people live their most meaningful and fulfilling lives. We have a lot to cover. Let's get going. Hi, Stevie.
So happy to be here.
So happy to see you.
When Robin and I were talking about this, we were like, at the end of every year, we know that we have to have this conversation with you looking ahead to the next year. We cannot navigate.
And have to reflect a little bit on what just happened.
True that.
So before we get going, can you talk about your approach to astrology?
Sure, I'd love to. So most of my study is in evolutionary astrology, which is really steeped in that we've had past lives and that we come in having these places in us where we can get stuck in because we've really mastered them in some ways, in some ways not. And so it's really focused on like the nodal axis and what you're doing at a soul mission level and how you can walk more in consciousness and becoming more awake to who you are and what you're doing here. So it's really big picture astrology. And the other form of astrology I've really studied is shamanistic astrology, which is really steeped in more of a ritualistic practice of working with the energies of the planets. So it's a mix of all the things.
I'm glad you reminded us of that, because the way you term those, I think, does give you a very distinct perspective on looking at astrology. So should we move to the next question? Because this is the thing I feel like I'm dying to know. So looking as we close out this year and how it's played out from an astrological perspective, does it align with what you thought it was going to be this year? Does it align with that same kind of vision you had when we started off?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways it has. And it's also surprised me, as I'm sure it surprised everyone listening. Going into this year, I knew we were all going to be really working on our relationships with ourselves and the relationships that we have with other people and boundary work and where we're out of harmony with what our truth is. So that was a huge theme this year, and it will continue into next year. And we also had Pluto moving into Aquarius for a moment. So we got this small taste of what Pluto and Aquarius, the new generation, will be. And that will continue next year as well. We can go deeper into that in a little bit, but that is really signifying a huge shift for humanity and us walking into a way different of a period of time, way more innovation, way more transformation, and taking the collective, taking its power back. So in a lot of ways, I think it has really, and in others, I think it surprised me with how much work we all have been invited to do this year internally.
Yeah. And you were talking about right before we got on, which I know you just mentioned with relationships and so forth, but that the ancestral part of things and what we're working through.
Yeah, I think that the nodes being in Libra and Aries, essentially when you have the South node in Libra, you're working on where you've been out of harmony and you've been working on your ancestral lineage, essentially. Because I find that, especially the people that have Pluto in Libra, which is a lot of us born in the 80s, 70s, 80s, we signed up to work to reparent ourselves. When, like, if we are parents, we're doing it differently. These are really hard contracts that we're working through. And so that is a huge thing. Like, where in our lives are we out of harmony? Or where have we been complacent or avoiding confrontation or people pleasing? All that stuff.
I'm not familiar with any of that.
Wow, that resonate.
Yes.
So what should we be keeping in mind just even for these next few weeks? Because we have about 2 more weeks left in this year.
So the interesting thing about the end of this year is that Mercury is retrograde and we're ending the year in such a slow, reflective moment. So it starts in Capricorn, it moves back into Sagittarius. And all that means for everyone is that we're all reevaluating our goals. So Capricorn usually is go, keep walking up the mountain, keep working, keep being disciplined. And so we're taking a moment to breathe to say, hang on, are these goals actually still my goals? Is this vision still my vision? And I think it's cool to have the end of the year in this, because I'm always like during the holidays, I don't know about you guys, like I always want a slow down moment. I want to like breathe and set intentions for the year and think about what I did and think about what happened and how I've grown. And I feel like it's so busy that we don't get to do that. This year we do. And that means that people are going to be forced to slow down, which can be hard. It can mean you have old people surface. You can have conversations that need to happen. You can have things break. Like these are Mercury retrograde moments. So we're ending the year very slowly. And he moves direct the 2nd of January. And even then, the first few weeks of January are slow because he's like starting to move back and get his speed back up. So yeah, we all need to go inward big time.
I'm feeling it.
I am too. And it's funny, I've been having conversations with people who really are feeling the shift that they have gone through. I think you can't find a person who can't say that it hasn't been a tough year on so many levels, but many that I'm talking to are really starting to feel that slowing down. And almost in that slowing down, there's that anticipation of really a good 2024. Like everybody I've talked to seems to feel like it's a positive shift. What are you seeing astrologically there?
Yeah, I think that it's up to us. I think there's going to be some really beautiful invitations next year. And next year is a big, and I feel like I've been saying this since 2021, but it's like endings and beginnings again. And we're closing things up and we're starting new. And so there is, I think the anticipation is the refresh or restart of the new energy coming. We can feel it. We're at the very end of the chapter. You know what I mean?
Yes, I feel that.
It feels that way. It really does. Very different feeling. Last year, I remember having the conversation with you and going, oh God, it's going to be a lot ahead. And almost feeling a little bit of trepidation around all the work that was ahead of us. But I honestly do not feel that at this point in time this year. So when you say on January 2nd, Mercury goes direct, is that what you said before?
Correct. Yep.
What does that mean?
So when Mercury goes retrograde, he's moving backwards. So for the end of November and the beginning of December, we walk down a path and then he stops and then he goes backwards on the path. So whatever you did the last few weeks, you're going to be revisiting in a different way. And then he stops again and starts to move forward on the 2nd. And so from January 2nd to the 20th, he's going to be walking that path again forward. So it means that he's still slow and he takes some time. And whatever you're dealing with, November, December, January, it's just stretched way out. What usually would be like 3 weeks, 4 weeks is much longer. So you get more time. And anytime Mercury goes retrograde, it's inside. You go inward. And when he goes direct, it becomes outward again.
So helpful. Because it seems like everybody's talking about Mercury retrograde, but I don't think everybody always knows what that means. They just know it's something to pay attention to.
Yes, totally.
Yes. And don't we normally have about 3 usually in a year?
Right. Exactly. 3 or 4, depending on the year.
Okay. So then let's talk about 2024 overall. And I love, Karen, what you said about 2023 and how we entered. And I would say it almost also felt like a forced hopeful. Whereas for me personally, going into 2024, it feels hopeful. It just feels hopeful. I don't feel any force. And it feels like things will flow easier than they did at the beginning of 2023. So let's talk about what this year is going to bring.
Yeah, I think we've also been through so much this year. Like Karen was saying, everyone's had a pretty tough year in some ways that it's like we're more equipped. I'm just seeing like more of an armor.
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, we're stronger in some ways.
Yeah.
I would say 2024 is really interesting because we have Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, all ending their cycles and their signs. So 2025, which we won't get into fully, is a whole different situation. It's like massively different energy. So this year, we're at the end periods of things, which means we're integrating. We've been walking it, learning it, doing the work. And so now it's, okay, how do I integrate these energies now? So the first thing is that this is a year of endings and beginnings. And it's also a year of disruption for our highest good. One of the biggest things that's going on, and I'll give you some dates, is Pluto's moving into Aquarius on January 20th. And then he moves back into Capricorn September 1st. And then he moves back into Aquarius November 19th for good. For the next 15-ish years.
Wow.
So this is the last moment of Pluto in Capricorn, which started in 2008.
Wow.
That's a generation, right? Pluto creates our generations, which means a whole new generation is being birthed. And we got a small taste of this in 2023. So what this really means is Aquarius energy, when Pluto moves signs, you see the shadow first. He has to show you the shadow so that we can have the alchemy process, the transformation, the death and rebirth that Pluto invites us to embrace. So the shadow of Pluto in Aquarius is going to be that we all are seeking unity consciousness. We all want to do what's best for the group. We all, as a group, as humanity, want to take our power back. So Pluto in Capricorn really showed us where we were seeking authority outside of ourselves, which, if you think about it, is everything we're taught, like schools and
parents.
I don't know about you, but that's really common to have an authority kind of parental figure, at least one in your life. So we all learned how to take our authority back. Maybe not all of us, but the ones that chose to.
Yes.
And also like where the corporations and the governments and everything don't have our best interests. They're out for themselves. It's like top-down patriarchy. So we all worked through that since 2008 and we get the very end of it this year. And when Pluto's at the very last degree, and when any planet's at the last degree of a sign, it's frantic. It's, I got to finish. There's stuff to do. It's that 29 degree that's, we're not done yet. So we're going to feel that energy, which means systems and structures still crumbling, which we all want ultimately, even though it's painful. So that's a big part of 2024. And when Pluto moves into Aquarius, like I said, the shadow comes to the surface, which means we're going to even see more where the people don't have power.
Wow.
That's a big one. This could mean that you'll see more people living in community together because they're going to be like, screw that. I'm doing my own thing together as a group. And we're already seeing this, right? You're going to see where people want to stand up more for what they believe in and take action because it's going to become the shadow, which means it's going to be in our face. So I imagine that's also like the curtain being pulled back more, us having more information on how we've been controlled. Like these kinds of themes are really strong.
Wow. And I know this has been somewhat of a theme over these last few years, even as we started this conversation, and you can really see it, how it's all been playing out everywhere.
And I think too, it's also us understanding how we've been divided. And I know we all have talked about this so many times, but how they control us through division and how we're all being like, I'm starting to see this now. And I'm not playing into it anymore. I'm going to take my power back in my group, in my own community, in my own friend group. I'm going to make that for ourselves. So it's exciting. And Aquarius energy is super innovative. So I imagine all kinds of new technologies, AI is definitely going to get way more prevalent. We're going to see innovations for the earth. I'm imagining we could even see eventually free energy that we used to have back in the Egyptian Atlantean times. Like these kinds of things are going to come back to the surface. But again, when Pluto first moves into a sign, you have to see the shadow. The death has to happen before the rebirth.
And so you're saying, and by November 19th of 2024, it will be in Aquarius for the next 15 years.
Yeah. So that's like a very in between, collectively speaking, ending one generation, starting a new, another one. And I think also it's going to be, this is the age of Aquarius. It's going to be very loud. I'm imagining too, like a lot more talk of extraterrestrials and a lot of that stuff's going to be like coming to the surface.
I'm excited. This is my kind of world.
Yeah, let's bring on the galactics.
Yeah, bring a little magic and a little bit of exciting kind of possibility drama. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that you reminded us of the fact that the Pluto in Capricorn started in 2008. These markers are significant.
Stevie, I feel like you're saying just in terms of amplifying the possibilities of what 2024 can be, it feels so positive in that sense, because it's like we're being invited to participate in a whole different way, in a way that unifies and that explores brand new possibilities and kind of sets the tone that that's what we're being invited to do at this point in time, which feels expansive versus a lot of work. I mean, the work always continues, of course, but it just seems like it's amplifying positivity and possibility.
Yeah. And I think that we're going to realize we can rewrite the story We can actually use our intention and what people are calling the new earth, like that's going to become way more of something that you're seeing. But we have to do it together.
Yeah, Aquarius that unity, is, right. That unity yes. consciousness
yes.
is so important. And I know Karen and I have read several different books that always talk about that being yeah. as something that is coming. And so the fact that you are saying that starting now, and then really coming together even in the next few years. Huge.
Huge.
Yeah. And for all the people who've done the work and might be listening to this right now thinking, oh my gosh, there has been so much disruption in my life. There have been a lot of endings. I do feel like maybe even forced to starting over and doing something completely new. That can be a ray of light because yes, everything is on purpose. You are flowing with this divine astrology that's happening in the world. And so you may be called to being part of that whole new beginning. So it just puts a whole different spin on how all this work and difficulty we might have been going through this year could really be preparing ourselves for the next big thing that might be really the sole purpose that we're here. It feels really exciting.
Yeah. And the choice is ours. We get to set the intention of what we want for our future. That's how it works. So collectively, if we're working together to create that reality, that's huge.
Definitely. Oh, I love that.
Okay. So that's Pluto, which is huge because it's death and rebirth. What else do we have on our radar?
So we have Saturn and Neptune in Pisces, and Piscean energy is semi-overwhelming because we are all one. And when you're in Pisces energy, you're in like your past lifetimes, you're in your subconscious, you're in the dream world, anything's possible here. So we have Saturn, and I know we talked about this last year because he's been there in 2023, but Saturn is structurized responsibilities and foundations and karma. And so when he moves into Pisces, he's really asking us to think about what is real. What is actually reality? And how do you want to manifest your dreams and structurize them? Because anything's possible. So it's also a call to do more healing. I always think of Saturn in Pisces as it's time to get the therapy. It's time to work with the guides. It's time to get help for yourself and all these stories you've been living in and change your neural pathways. It's like that kind of work. It makes us, and I don't know if you guys have felt this year, really see where you're escaping and disillusioned. Like, where have you been avoiding? What are you doing over there? So more of that too, before he moves into Aries in 2025. And Neptune, again, he's been in Pisces for a really long time too. So he's ending his time there. And this to me also feels like, where are you taking in information? Because you could watch something, right? Say the news or something and totally make it your story. Then it becomes your reality. So where have we been disillusioned with the information we're taking in, and how can we be more like have that sword just to know I'm going to be really purposeful and intentional about where I'm taking in information and where I've been disillusioned? Because that's what, you know, that's the powers that be use these tools to do that to us.
And revisiting things from a soul level and recognizing and taking responsibility in some ways for taking that information in, but recognizing you also have the power and the choice on your own to stop it.
Yep. And I think too, it's an invitation to be more serious about our spiritual hygiene, like protection and meditation and whatever it is, even if it's 3 or 5 minutes in the morning, to really take responsibility for your energetic bodies, because Pisces is really overwhelming. It's too much. We get really overstimulated with this. So Saturn's been asking us to hang on a minute. Where are you actually choosing to spend your time? Where are you taking action? What are your goals for yourself around your spiritual hygiene?
Ooh, that's good.
Tools are really important.
Yes.
Our tools that we've been collecting.
To that point, like through this whole year, Robin and I have been watching how many choices now we have for that, right? There's so many. It can be through your wellness, through your work. It can be through working out, meditation, spiritual classes. There's so much more out there, I want to say, with even in this last year, in terms of possibilities of exploring that and figuring out what the right path is out there for you. So it feels like the world has been evolving to really set us up so that we have these tools so that we can go into this next year really armed with a lot of support as we're doing that work and exploring all those possibilities, which is also really exciting.
Yeah, it's much more socially acceptable, which is cool. We're not going to die for it this life. I'm like, yay, we're not going to get burned at the stake.
It makes me hopeful that we won't listening to this.
Yeah.
Because if we're going to be going into that unity consciousness and not letting others dictate what is okay. You're so right. Yeah. And to your point, Karen, yes, it's true. It becomes more and more possible how to use these tools and to find out that they even exist, which I know is why we exist.
And I don't know if you guys are feeling this too. This is the time where I feel like I came here for this. Like, this is it. I feel so excited about it.
And especially when we talk about that whole age of Aquarius in general. Yes. And it's interesting when I look at it on a personal level, in 2025, I will be 50 years old. And so I find it interesting that I'll be probably somewhat past the midpoint of my life, but that I'll be an elder in some ways at that point. And I look to my daughter, who will be 17 at that point, and what she will be able to bring into the world and what she chose to do in this lifetime and so many other younger people. Anyway, it's just interesting to look at why we chose to come in at what age. And I know we've talked about that personally. When you do a natal chart reading, you get that whole overview. I love talking about this.
Me too.
And I think this whole community consciousness, this whole idea now to what you were just saying before, Stevie, it's like we can have these conversations and people don't turn their backs on it anymore. There's a curiosity that seems to be pervasive that everybody is looking for that meaning now. And so now we can have these conversations that invite the dialogue on every level, mind, body, and spirit, where I feel like maybe just 2 or 3 years ago, it still felt a little compartmentalized. And so I think that's going to go a long way to bringing in that unity that we're all looking for. It feels like a big happy exhale compared to where we've been the last few years.
Yeah.
So then I think you mentioned something with Uranus.
Yes. I think one of the biggest things going on next year, aside from the Pluto thing, on April 20th, Jupiter and Uranus meet up in Taurus. The thing about, so Jupiter moved into Taurus this year. And as soon as Jupiter moved into Taurus, I remember looking out my window and being like, the trees are alive, you guys. They're like talking to me. There's literal spirits in them. Don't you see? Like, it was all of a sudden, it was like, whoa, wow. The earth had something to say. It was like louder. So that was something too that happened in 2023. So Jupiter will continue its journey through Taurus, but it meets with Uranus on the 20th of April. And Uranus is the great disruptor. I love his energy so much because he brings change for our best and highest selves. And he brings change for our freedom. It can sometimes be very alarming because it's like lightning bolt, shake. It's a lot. So this will go multitudes of ways. Let me just break down what could happen. I definitely think that the economy is going to be disrupted. Taurus is money, security, resources, Mother Earth, financial, economic systems. So Jupiter there and Uranus there, they've been there and you can feel it, right? 2023, we felt like some shakes around that. But when they come together, Jupiter magnifies this electrical energy, this change. The biggest planet aside from our luminary, the sun, right? Hits the most electrical planet. It's an electrical storm. So in Taurus, what happens is we ground really far down. And I know Robin and I are both Tauruses, so we know this archetype really well, but we ground really far down to the point where we don't want to move because it's comfortable, even though it's not the best place to be, right? It's like the shadow. And Taurus will say, I've invested so much time. I'm just going to stay. It's like loyal to a fault, stubborn to a fault. And it's a fixed sign. So when Uranus comes, it's, I will uproot you. You need to move. You need to change. It's time. This shit isn't working. So I imagine that in April, March, because it's not just all of a sudden on the 20th, it's like leading up to and after. March, April, May is going to be a lot of disruption around what we thought was safe. And it's all for the best, but I imagine that a lot of systems are going to change around our resources. This could also certainly mean the earth shakes, like the earth is like had enough, she's done. So not doom and gloom, but she's going to try to rebalance herself. And Jupiter really does bring expansion, abundance. He brings truth. He brings vision. He's a really good planet, quote unquote, but he also is like a planet on crack. Like he met up with Pluto in 2020 three times. So that
was exactly. Let's all remember that.
Magnifies the energy of the other planet. And Jupiter magnified Pluto's energy in 2020 three times. So he will be magnifying Uranian energy, which again is change. And sometimes suddenly Uranus doesn't take weeks. He takes a moment sometimes and it's unexpected. So don't try to figure out what's going to happen. That's the energy because he's very much expect the unexpected. He's going to shake us. We're going to be shook.
And I love that you also say it's for our highest good. It's for our expansion, our growth. And so when we're doing this podcast right now, we want to remind you, don't fear it, because whatever happens, it could feel actually really good. Oh, and maybe even if it doesn't at first, it will.
Yes.
It's giving you new possibilities, right? And I think back in my lifetime, when something has had to shake me, right? Yeah. In order to make a shift. Sometimes that can be a really good boot in the butt to do something that we really want to do. So we can also look at it in that sense as well.
I think Uranian energy to me feels like nervous butterflies, like you're excited about it. Cause he's hit four of my planets now the last 5 or 6 years. So him and I are very close, but if you embrace what will bring you freedom, because mostly he wants us to open the cages. So that could be a belief that you have, that could be financially, that could be a job, a relationship, something where you're like, no, this is not, you want to break free with him. So that's why I love him so much, especially for me being such a Taurus person. It's like, I need the kick in the butt.
Exactly.
And obviously we all need it societally. Like, again, these systems and structures that don't work for everybody, we need to have the shake.
And so it's that point of look at these as opportunities, look at these as invitations. So when we're talking about this, all of it, but this specifically, it's an invitation to get to who you really are and why you're here. And sometimes you really, as you both said, need to be kicked in the butt, really pushed into it right away. And that could even come in the form, yes, it could come in the form of you losing a job, but also could come in the form of you getting the job of your dreams. You may not even feel ready and you're just pushed into it, right? Yep. So it can come in all ways and shapes and forms.
Especially with Jupiter, because it's like he can bring abundance, right? He can bring expansion. The thing that I will say, like just from a body point of view, because I always talk about this, I'm like a broken record, but it's going to be really important to get into your body, to do like the moving, the shaking, the crying, because this energy is going to feel really physical. It's Taurus, and Taurus is like the body, our cells, our tissues. We may be able to work through some big things quickly with this stuff. So making sure that you're grounding practices, you're nourishing yourself as much as you can, because that electrical energy sometimes makes our nervous systems, it's going to be an overstimulation.
And is getting in nature, because that's also
100%. That's everything in 2024.
Grounding.
This spring, especially. Yes.
Okay. That's good to know. And I also think even as you're looking back over 2023, maybe doing in this ideal quiet time that we have before 2024 happens, and doing a little bit of that inventory of, these are the things I really took away from this year. Maybe these aren't the things I worked through, but these are the things that bubbled up that I know are things that I need to be working through. And then thinking about how 2024 and all of these astrological milestones that are coming up might be those opportunities for us to be the catalyst to really get there. I always feel like sometimes I get to the end of the year and I'm like, oh, should have done so much more. I know it. You do that little bit of inventory where you're just like, oh, why didn't I do that? But I think the message is the work is never done. And so as each year comes, it's offering us these sort of new ways and new opportunities to continue that work. You've never missed the year by not getting it done. There's just different energy and different opportunities that are going to come your way to offer more of that.
I think that's such a big, beautiful point that you make. And it's really fascinating, because on the solstice, the 21st of December, we move into Capricorn season. And it's that voice of, like, oh, I'm not taking enough responsibility. I'm not disciplined. It's why you get to the gym on the first. It's why everybody goes into the new year with all these resolutions and goals, right? But it's slow this year. So we have the time and the moment and the invitation. And also with Capricorn, there's a reason why the season leading up to Christmas feels it's fun. And I know we talked about this before. And all of a sudden the 21st comes and it's like serious. It's why Christmas feels different. At least it always does for me. I'm like, whoa, it feels like heavier a little bit.
Actually, I never really articulated that, but yeah, you're right. It is. It's that lead up feels like so fun. All I want to do is listen to holiday music and it's fuzzy. And then it does. You're right. It does then get serious.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, totally. And Sagittarius season is, it's fun. Let's party. Let's have experiences. Let's do stuff. Let's go travel and visit people. And it's busy and fiery. And then you get to the Capricorn seriousness and it's, well, what have you been doing? Have you been having too much fun? What, you know what I mean? It gets really serious. And it's cool too, because we go into the new year with Capricorn energy, which helps us think about the goals and the mountains we're climbing. But I think this year is cool. Like, to Karen's point, you can take the time, because I always like go into the new year and, like, what even happened this year?
What? Yes, that's right. Tough.
Yeah, I think that's so important.
I just want to put an exclamation on that point because about the fact that seriousness of Capricorn, because when everyone thinks about all their, in quotes, New Year's resolutions that start January 1, you brought up going to the gym, other people, there's all different things that people decide they're not going to do anymore. And whether they give themselves like, I'm going to do it all of January, or it's just going forward, this is it. It's interesting that is all spurred on right around that end of December because of the energy that's there. Yeah. Never thought about it that way.
Yeah. And then Capricorn season's over and you go into Aquarius season and I'm a little more detached.
Exactly.
So like just that invitation to move with the cycles, you can work with the Capricorn energy, but not letting it get so, because you can really beat yourself up in Capricorn season, especially looking back and being like, I did nothing.
Which actually brings up one of the questions that we wanted to ask you was about the zodiac calendar in general, because we all are using this calendar year of things end December 31st. We start a new year January 1st. But from an astrological perspective, that's really not how the zodiac calendar works. Can you just touch on that and at a high level talk about how that works in the themes and the real beginning and end of the astrological calendar?
Yeah. So the astrological new year starts when Aries season starts on the first day of spring, which is March 20th, 21st, depending on when the sun moves into Aries. But that's the beginning again. That's why like in the Northern Hemisphere, we have spring, which is the rebirth season. Yeah. The Gregorian calendar isn't necessarily set up for us moving with the cycles at all. We figured it out, I think. But yeah, that would be the start of the astrological new year in general would be spring. And Capricorn's the top. It's like where you get to the mountain and you're like, all right, what am I going to work towards? Then we move into Aquarius, which is, okay, how am I going to share all of this with the group? What are my goals for the future? And then we move into Pisces and we let it all dissolve away, which is February, March. So there's a reason why February and March, we're all like floating around, feels real weird. Like we needed to do a lot of grounding. And that's the end. That's where we all dissolve back into the divine energy to only then be rebirthed into Aries as like, oh, here I am. I'm the self again. That's spring. That's why it feels so different.
I think so many people are going to just, that's going to be an aha. Oh, that's why I feel so out of sorts in February, March. It's not just the weather time of year. It's literally the planet that is infusing my life with this feeling. And so to that point, Stevie, if it's almost giving us a second shot at a new year at that point, can we look at it like that? Taking January, Feb to, okay, just set ourselves thinking about what we might want to do with this energy in this new year, but then giving ourselves this window of not feeling like it all has to get figured out and put into our habitual daily life at the beginning of the year. It gives us that sort of window of time where we can really say, you know what? I could give myself a couple months and then really lean into it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And this goes for all of the year. There's a reason why back to school is Virgo season. We're like, okay, back to routines. But then it's over. Then you move into Libra season and you're like, do I need to be that like rigid? You're just not into it anymore. So yeah, I love that way of thinking about it. Like Capricorn isn't the beginning. It's like the top where you start to come down again, like where the moon gets full and then you start to go down back to new again. So yeah, it's a few month window where you can allow yourself to be in that space.
And listen, we're going to be reminding everyone listening, you will have the opportunity throughout the year from Stevie's guidance to get these reminders of what these different seasons mean. So you don't have to keep it all in your mind right now. We just want to bring that up. So because it really does resonate. It really makes much more sense than what you said, the Gregorian calendar and what we all are accustomed to.
And it's always changing that your focus is changing. Your desires are changing depending on the seasons. And it's meant to be that wheel.
That's right. And I think the other thing to point out with those seasons is what you're then able to help do is give those nuances within that season to help us all grow even more. And it's like we came here on purpose, with purpose, at a certain time to experience all this. And anyone listening right now is here for this unity consciousness. Like you chose to be here now, no matter how old you are, to help with what we are entering into, to be a part of this age of Aquarius. And that's really exciting.
And I think too, if you study the cycles and allow yourself that space, like there's always invitations to flow with them versus trying to do the same old thing over and not understand why it's not working. It's so helpful because we're cyclical beings.
Yes.
It's like in our bones, in our DNA.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, you want the reminder. There's a reason your soul is listening right now, because you are being called to be more aware so that you're not doing that same thing over and over, wherever that is in your life.
And I love the reminder of that word flow. For so many of us, that is a word that we need to embrace a little bit more in our lives, because I think, especially as we're going into this unity consciousness, right? I think it's that flow allows us to be open to the people, the experiences, the lessons that we may not even realize are there for us and that have been brought into our experience on purpose. And especially as we go into the holidays, as you were saying earlier, Stevie, for us to slow down and really feel, what does that flow feel like for you going into this next year, to really tune in to that and tune out a little bit about all those exterior shoulds that continue to bombard us through the holidays, especially into the beginning of the new year as we're thinking about what we have to accomplish. But that flow aspect is really, that's a lesson as well. That's work just to learn how to do that. But in that sense, I feel like we can get there so much more easily if we allow ourselves that grace, as we were talking about earlier, to just get there on our own pace, because that's really what it's about too. All of this is just guidelines for giving ourselves these pathways that we can explore. There's no right or wrong way, but it's just, there's all this help that's out there to guide us along. It's up to us ultimately to decide, you know, what we're going to do.
I love that you can do it different if you want. You don't have to do it the same, because it's never the same anyway. Like even this Christmas for me is very different, and I'm like giving myself permission to do it different. I think we're all trying to explore what is ours and how we can, I don't know, like just that thing that everything's temporary and you can rewrite it.
Yes. And I know we touched on retrograde before, but I do want to just bring it up one more time, because I think when people think of Mercury in retrograde, they're warned to not sign any agreements, not buy any electronics. And I know we've talked about this before. I'd love to bring up a little more interpretation with that, because that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, I always have a bone to pick with astrology in that way. Many bones, but that's one of them. Because yes, it's a slowdown. Yes, sometimes things break because we're not really meant to be going. So sometimes the internet breaks. Sometimes you get sick. It's like, hey, chill out. It's like a moment to chill, right? That's how you flow with the energy. And some people, I think it's 10 or 11% of the population were born with Mercury retrograde. So if that's you, go look at your chart and see if there's a little R next to your Mercury sign, because that means you come back to yourself for those 3 weeks and you get a moment to be like, oh, I'm flowing with it. I'm feeling it. So we're selling our house right now. So I am being a little extra cautious to put things in multiple places, because your brain isn't capable of what it normally is. Even for people like me, and I'm sure you both, when you're on it, I'm on it. If I'm going to be somewhere, I'm going to be somewhere, right? But I can definitely screw up.
Today's a perfect example. Actually, as both Stevie and Karen know, I'm very much on time. And today, something happened. I completely had a different time in my head of when we were starting this conversation. Yeah. And so I ended up being 15 minutes late. And if had Karen not texted me, I would have just showed up at 12, which, how funny that it's Mercury retrograde starting today.
Today. Yeah. And so you got to give yourself more grace and maybe put less on your planner, right? Take that inward time. It's a beautiful time for that, but it's definitely not all doom and gloom.
And isn't it like, if it's something that you, so for instance, like you're selling your house, you started that prior to Mercury retrograde. So if you're going to sign an agreement within that time frame, if it's something that you started before the retrograde, that's actually a good thing, because Mercury retrograde can be a time for closure in that sense. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely. And it's definitely, you can do whatever you want during Mercury retrograde. Just give yourself a little bit more grace and time to cross your T's and dot your I's. And for some people, these cycles, like you were saying, they're supposed to happen now.
Yeah.
Like I've sold a house, I've sold a car, I bought an RV, I've sold an RV during Mercury retrogrades. It's just, sometimes that's just how the cycle works. It's divine. And that's the thing, even for example, us selling our house, now that Mercury's retrograde, some things that we thought were going to go forward have to be revisited. And they need to be.
It's all good.
It's all good. And it might be annoying. It can be really annoying being a human during these retrogrades, because you're being asked to slow down, revisit, not do what you normally do. We have to pivot. We have to think about something we already thought about. It can be obnoxious, but it's also divine. It's meant to be. So holding that perspective is always helpful.
I love that. From time to time, I'm just going to stay in bed. And it's such a good perspective to have that and look at it that way, Stevie.
Is there anything else that people should know about 2024 that we haven't covered?
Yeah. So I would say three things if we have time. Okay. The first one is that on February 19th, we have Chiron meeting with the North Node in Aries. This is big for you, Robin, too, because it's your Chiron return. So the North Node is our collective destiny, where we're headed, what our souls are doing, what we're working through, the new stuff. And Chiron is the wounded healer. So he's very much the wounds that we carry over from past lifetimes, our traumas from this lifetime, where we feel abandoned, where we feel really vulnerable, our big wounds. And he also, though, is the shaman and the healer. So he's the part of you that does the work on your own self so then you can share it with other people. So I imagine that during this period of time, probably some of January, February, March, people are going to feel the call. Okay, I need to either do another layer of healing. I need to step into my healer and help other people. This could also be people feeling, oh my gosh, look at all the work that I've done. I know who I am now. I feel more whole. And this could also be challenging for people because you could get triggered because Chiron is our wounds. And so you could have something come to you to knock on your door to say, hi, isn't this uncomfortable? And I'm sure you guys feel the same way, but our triggers are our biggest teachers. Like there, something is to be looked at. So that could also be a theme for that period of time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So then what's the next thing? You said there's three things.
Yep. So that's the first one. And again, the call in 2024 is to really focus on the self. Take the human design course. Meet with an astrologer and whatever way you can understand yourself more clearly and own it. This is a huge theme for us. And we've been doing that this year too. So more of studying the self and permission to be brave and start the new thing, really honor who you are. And that February window is going to be louder for us. This could also mean like boundary work and relationships too, this February 19th. The other thing is that Jupiter is moving into Gemini on May 26th until June of 2025. So we go from the trees are talking to me and that big Taurus energy to big Gemini energy, which is like, we're in the library now. We're the data collectors. We're so curious. We're the students again. And this is so beautiful for the humanity. That's the opposite of division. It's people coming together and having conversations and being curious and becoming the student again. This could mean like a lot of people want to write books or they want to have big conversations. Like if you think about Jupiter as the big visionary and the philosopher and Gemini, the curious student, those two energies coming together is amazing. However, there's always the however. This is so mental. Remember like the idea, I get really excited when I go into a library because it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many possibilities. That energy of there's so much to learn and so many conversations to have. And we're already in this information age where we're constantly being bombarded with information. It's going to be louder. Lots of people's opinions, using discernment, figuring out what your truth is. Of course, staying open and curious. But again, with the body thing, you're going to need to get into your body because it's so mental. Okay. Lots of overstimulation, but also really exciting because people are going to be more open to hearing about the philosophy and the soul stuff.
Oh, that just feels so right.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And then the last thing that I have is August is our opening square between Saturn and Jupiter, which that cycle started on the solstice winter of 2020. So remember when the Saturn Jupiter came together, the Christmas star, everyone was talking about it. Look, they're coming. That was when that cycle started. And the opening square means tension. So it's the first square of that cycle that started in 2020. So whatever was going on for you, there was a lot going on collectively in winter 2020. This is going to bring tension between expansion and contraction. It's like the accordion, structure and abundance. So responsibility and vision. Ah. So in some ways it's cool because it's don't get too swept up in the vision and you're not doing anything about it. Where are you taking action? That's Saturn. It's going to all push us to take the action and create the foundations that we need for our vision, but it's going to be tense. So that's August. That's late summer into fall.
It's going to be an interesting late summer into fall into the end of 2024.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that idea of continuing to honor the self for this year into 2025, where we'll be at the beginning of that real unity consciousness. If you can get better at understanding who you are and being who you really are, it will help so much to then be a part of that collective.
Yeah. I think there's also so much value in the unity aspect too, in learning, because it can be really lonely and overwhelming doing your own work in your own head and your own heart and your own self. But if you have that community to really work with you, it just helps so much more. It makes the work better, deeper, easier, all of that. And we're helping each other that way as well.
And let's also talk about your new offering, Stevie, because you're working with Akashic Records and astrology to really offer people a resource throughout the year. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So my friend Anna Hendricks, who is an Akashic Records reader, approached me and she's like, do you want to make a toolkit and do this together? Because the Akashic Records and astrology is so cool how they mirror each other. And for those of you who don't know what the Akashic Records are, they're essentially a giant spiritual library of everything that's ever happened to your soul. It's in the records. So they also hold, and I'm not an expert on the records at all. I'm just working with somebody that is. So you can go into the records with someone who's trained to open them and get all kinds of answers about what happened to you within relationships, within past lives. And they also carry this energy of knowing what each month holds. So it's similar to astrology in that way.
I actually never thought of it that way.
I didn't either. I was going to ask you about that. Like, how are they correlated? That's fascinating.
You can essentially ask the records anything. What's my week look like? How do I prepare myself for the year? What am I going to be working on? It's like a library of your own stuff and what's best for you. And it holds love vibration. Yeah, they're incredible. But we decided to make a toolkit for 2024 where we give you monthly astrological updates. I do a video for every new moon, every full moon, every retrograde, all the big transits. There's resources in how to learn about the houses. So you don't have to know anything about astrology for this toolkit. I teach you how to look up your chart and then go see what house a bit like the Jupiter Uranian aspect in April. You'll go in and you'll see, okay, where in my life is this showing up? And then she also channels all kinds of transcripts. She has teachings. It is jam-packed full of stuff to support you every single month with all of the energies happening. Because every week there's a cycle and then there's monthly and then it's like little cycles all the way to big ones. So what's important and how to navigate them. I'm excited about it. It's been fun.
So is this a class or is it customized to each person?
It's basically you go in and self-study and then we update it every quarter with new information. So there's overviews of the whole year and then it gets broken down.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
We also want to ask about the Soul Blueprint Alchemy Program, which you've been doing like your second year now, Stevie. Can you talk about that? Because I know that's also another really jam-packed offering that you're giving on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah, thank you. It's basically a 4-month long program where it's just one-on-one, just me and you. And we talk almost every single week. And we basically go through your entire blueprint. Like, what does your Mercury mean? What does your Sun mean? Where are your challenges? Where are your gifts? And then also, like, what phase of life are you currently in? And how do you find that flow that we were talking about within each cycle? So it's partly me giving you the tools to learn about yourself from every aspect. So we all have these multiple personalities within us, and also the perspective of what's happening for you right now. And that's really a beautiful container too, if you're looking for like deeper support. And it's called Alchemy because I want you to go walk through the program and be changed by the end, to have some sort of transformation. And usually that just comes from you knowing yourself better.
I love how you've coined the Soul Blueprint Alchemy Program. Can you just talk about what you mean by a soul blueprint?
Yeah. So basically your birth chart, your natal chart is a snapshot of the sky the moment you were born. So what constellation was at the horizon? How are the planets dancing with each other? Are they in tension? Are they in harmony? And it creates who you are. So it tells us everything from where your soul came from to what's your biggest karmic challenge in this life. And everyone has one. And the blueprint itself, so where all the planets were the moment you were born, tells me how your mind works, how your emotional body works, where your biggest gifts are. It tells you everything. Everything's within the chart and how all these multiple personalities work together or intention.
Well, yeah, I want to just add to, I think in your reading that I had with you, one of the ahas for me was the north-south node and the impact, as you were saying earlier, about our ancestral or our past lives have had upon us. And that's not always a focus of astrology. It tends to look at where am I today and where am I going tomorrow? But I think doing that bit of a deep dive and really getting that look at your past and what has brought you here has helped me, I think, more than anything, understand myself and even the experiences that I'm going through and why I'm going through them. So I just wanted to add that it's such an important layer of information because it does help make sense of a lot of the things that are going on that might not make sense to you without that knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. That's been the most game changing And that's why I think I started to study evolutionary astrology, because I realized it always comes back to the nodes. Always. I don't care what you're going through. Those two parts in your chart are the big pillars. So it's really helpful understanding that. And part of the program, we go way into that. There's so much to say about just one of them.
I just feel like it's such a gift someone can give themselves to work with you through this program, because you really would walk out of it having such a deep understanding of why you are here and what you came here to do for your soul. It will feel so aligned. And the way that Stevie puts it, you are translating in a way that is so, the words that you choose are so specific and resonate so clearly with every soul that I know Karen and I have ever put in touch with you, including ourselves, including our families, that I couldn't encourage it enough for anybody who is really looking to understand who they are and why they're here to do it.
Thank you, Robin. That's really sweet.
True.
I'm going to take your words. And also, if you're not wanting to do a big deep dive program, I do offer one-time sessions too. If you want a session where you're like, let's just focus on what the heck I'm doing here and where I came from.
Which are game-changing, I have to tell you. Karen and I, while we've met with Stevie many times, anybody who even just does that walks away feeling seen, really understanding why they're here. And then to have that opportunity to really go deep, that just sounds decadent to me.
It does. And also, for me personally, the insights on past life, it takes me off the hook of things so often, because I'm like, gosh, why do I do that? Or why did I think that? Or whatever. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. Because in that lifetime, I was this. And so I came this time around specifically to be like this. And so it makes me smile through some of my most frustrating moments, because it sparks that, oh yeah, that's what that's for. Oh yeah, that's why I'm going through that right now. It just helps balance some of the trauma and the drama that comes our way. And we can embrace it that way, because then we're conscious of why it's actually in our lives. So that in itself, as Robin said, that is just so game changing. And it stays with you. That's the other thing too. It's like a companion that you always keep with you on the journey.
Yeah. And essentially it's you getting into your big picture self, which, oh my gosh, there's so much of my whole body relaxing when I can do that. Cause we get stuck in like the little loops so much. I know I do.
And it reminds me too, even for, I've done this for Bella, my daughter, and where she's not ready to do a soul blueprint alchemy program, but just having that session for her, it's something that has given me peace, security, and it's given her peace and security, because just getting that big picture, even for now, and then she can decide later on how much she wants to investigate it or have an update on where she is at that point in her life. Having that big picture makes so much sense. And I know, Karen, you've done that for your children.
Oh my gosh, you're reminding me. I'll never forget Stevie talking to her about Graham when he was at a really difficult time in his life and he was doing stuff. As a parent, I wanted to steer him in one direction, hard left. And after talking to you and just getting that reminder of what his spirit journey is really here to do and who he is on a soul level, I stepped back and I allowed things to flow in his direction, night and day difference. Instead of having a young adult who is rebelling and angry, he became the explorer that he is in this lifetime. So it was just having that little steer where, as a parent, you're so believing that, no, I got to do it this way. But having that information can help you guide them in a completely different way that makes all the difference. So I couldn't agree with that one more, Robin.
Yeah, because you really understand their soul. And when you hear the way that Stevie is able to translate it, your soul hears it and it makes sense. Even when I did it for Bella when she was younger and there were certain words that you used and certain phrases that I was like, oh, it's hard to see it when she was that young. And as she's grown, it's yes, of course. And when you said it, it actually resonated. I was like, okay, that makes sense. I trust it. And one other thing I want to point out too, we've had Stevie on many times. One of the times she met with our friend Vanessa, who has written, and we have this podcast too, about her journey with her daughter, Elle. And what I also find so interesting is that Stevie has been able to take someone who passed away in this lifetime. And for Vanessa to understand why they chose to come into this lifetime together. And what did that look like? What does it continue to be even with Elle not in the physical? It's so beautiful. So for anyone who even has those types of questions of relationships that may no longer be here in this lifetime, Stevie is able to even look at that too. And that gave Vanessa so many answers that she actually was looking for. And she can get on with her life and move forward in a different way. So
that
I just
so sacred, that session. Like, I will never forget that.
Ever. Because Elle is that powerful. And I think part of what she's here to do is help teach and teach all of us to trust. And so I feel like you've definitely felt her and you were able to see that throughout that whole reading. Okay. On a completely different subject, another thing that Stevie does is you're able to integrate utilizing crystals, which Karen and I use as a resource all the time. And you were one of the first people that really introduced that, I know, to me in terms of how to utilize them on a weekly, monthly basis and what was going to be resonant for my soul. Can you talk about just how you use crystals and then how your jewelry, which is another aspect of who you are, come together?
Yeah. So I have them everywhere, but they're conscious, right? They have an energy frequency to them and they have codes in them. So thinking about them like they're a tree or like a dog or a cat, like really. And what I will say to anybody is go into a crystal shop and see what you're drawn to, because whatever you're drawn to, I'm telling you, and then go look it up later. Like, trust that piece is okay. This is going to support me, and look up the energy of it later. Cause I guarantee you're going to be like, oh my word. I never wear Amazonite, and I was starting to get really weary with our house selling and I was doubting a lot. So I was like so drawn to it. So I put it on and I didn't take it off. A week later, I looked it up and it was like for self-doubt and people that need hope. And I was like, oh my word. You don't have to know everything about them, right? Like, just go in and see what resonates with you. And I sleep with them sometimes. They're by my bed. Quartz is a magnifier of any intention. So you can wear quartz or have it anywhere and it cleans energy. It magnifies the energy, but they're really supportive. And I'm just really drawn to their energy in general because they're so high vibrational. I used to make jewelry without crystals and then started to learn. And I was like, okay, I need to integrate these into the silver. So they're really supportive. And they're also just like beautiful and reminders, because we're all doing so much work. Like Karen was saying, and sometimes it can feel lonely. Like, these things are our allies. I literally will sometimes, if I'm feeling like my inner child needs nurturing, I'll sleep with my moonstone.
I understand that. I sleep with crystals. And sometimes if I'm so tired or whatever, and I forget, I'll wake up and I'll know I didn't put it under there. There is a significant difference.
Yeah.
That energy is powerful.
It is.
And also, it is part of that Mother Earth energy too, that we were talking about.
Yes.
Now that we're in our modern homes and we're separated from Earth when we sleep, it's like a way to have it with us and be connected.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of the crystals that are coming, like the Lemurian crystals and things like that are coming out more, and you're seeing them more, is because they were seeded by us a long time ago, or galactic civilizations that literally put codes in them to be taken out during the right period of time. So they're so supportive in our awakening journey. And we don't even realize it.
I agree. And I know Karen and I are so fascinated by all of that. And that's a whole other conversation we'll have to have, and translate it in a way you can resonate with people.
And like, 1 week you need quartz, the next week maybe you need moonstone, then you need some Amazonite. Or it's just like really following your intuition, because they're just our guides here too.
Yes, I love looking at them that way. This was so good. I feel so energized and I feel more prepared now going into 2024, having had this conversation. I guess that's a Taurus in me, because it helps ground me so that I have a glimpse of what is to come. And I love the way that we talked about this past year and these past few years and how they are preparing us for 2024 and beyond. And so now we hope that everyone listening feels that preparation as well, and feel free to dig into it more and dig into how it really hits your own chart. Because for all of us, these are overviews, right? And then for each of us, some are going to feel heavier or lighter than other because of what we